Good morning. Welcome to worship. It's great to be with you this morning. I'm Randy Freund, pastor of the service coordinator for the Augustana District. I'll say a little bit about that in a second. My wife Stephanie's here with me today. Glad to give Pastor Brad a break today, and as he needs and as deserves. And it was so great to walk in here this morning and hear you guys are going to have a great Christmas program. I can just tell. It's just beautiful, beautiful sounds. So thank you. The announcements you have before you, I could read them, but you know them. Is there somebody who would like to accent one of the announcements you see on the back of the bulletin? That I was asked to announce that final date for ordering poinsettias is Sunday, November 26th. That'd be like today, right? So if you're going to order that, please make that happen today. Otherwise, the bulletin has the announcements for the week. I would just... Pastor Brad just said this would be a good opportunity for me just to say a brief, really brief, word. You are partners with us in the Augustana District. We're so thankful that Pastor Brad is part of our Board of Theology and Ministry. If you do not know, the Augustana District has about 100 churches, non-geographic with an LCMC, and we have this mantra, Theology, Church, Mission. So it's our task to tend to theology, to support congregations, and then to do vibrant mission, global mission work. And so that's what we attend to in the Augustana District. With that hat off, I'd put on my LCMC Board of Trustees hat. I'm the chair of the Board of Trustees. And we, from that angle, in LCMC, we are really changing direction, meaning we see that we need districts to be more involved and more the front line of helping congregations who are in conflict, helping congregations who are in the call process, and specifically, I don't like to say it, but there is a clergy shortage issue going on, not only in LCMC, but across denominations. And so one of the things that we in districts try to do is help create creative staffing design. Put churches together to work together, keep their autonomy, and that's a big part of some of our mission right now. So, both within as a member of Augustana and a part of LCMC, I'm thankful to be here today, and thank you for your support and your partnership in our mission together. So, with that, we'll continue with the service. We gather as we live, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
True. Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm, Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. And the mountain peaks belong to him. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let us pray. Merciful Father, King of glory, you have established your kingdom of grace on earth in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We praise you for your gracious rule. Lord, in your mercy. I'll ask any praise singers to join me as we turn to the hymn titled, Crown Him with Many Crowns. It's hymn number 170 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Thank you.
invite you to join me in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We hear these words in 1 John that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as you are able, as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated as we turn now to the Word.
First reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16 and 22 to 24. The Lord will be Israel's shepherd. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they are scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements of the land. And I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will build up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. And he will tend them to be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapters 15, verses 20 to 28, the resurrection of the dead. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of death of the dead also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. The prayers of the church. We pray for guidance, O God. You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet not trod and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Protect us, O Lord, from the distrust of your fatherly care, when we become anxious about our earthly needs, and direct us anew to live for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's share that peace now with one another.
The song I'd like to share this morning is called Christ is Mine Forevermore. Mine are days that God has numbered, I was made to walk with Him. Yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. But mine is hope in my Redeemer, though I fall, His love is sure, for Christ has paid for every failing. I am His forevermore. Mine are tears in times of sorrow, darkness not yet understood. Through the valley I must travel, where I see no earthly good. But mine is peace that flows from heaven, and the strength in time of need. I know my pain will not be wasted. Christ completes His work in me. Mine are days here as a stranger, pilgrim on a narrow way. One with Christ I will encounter harm and hatred for His name. But mine is armor in this battle, strong enough to last the war. As He has said, He will deliver safely to the golden shore. And mine are keys to Zion's city, where beside the King I walk. For where my heart has found its treasure, Christ is mine forevermore.
And all the angels with Him. Then He'll sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And he'll separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and all his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did nothing. You did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you're into sermon titles, this one's called Those on the Right and Those on the Left. And if by that title you think that I am going to speak about the political left and the political right, you will be disappointed or more likely relieved. That's not where we're going with this. However, it is the case that both the political left and the political right come under judgment in this text, as do all the nations of the world. That's right in the text. At the end of time, with angels gathered around his throne, Jesus will have before him all the nations of the world. This is the picture we see on this Christ the King Sunday. This text is often called the final judgment or the great separation. So the question for the day is, so what does this look like? Based on what Jesus finds, looking down upon our world today, we ask, what will Jesus do with what he finds? The answer? He will separate the sheep from the goats. There is a coming final judgment, a separation at the end of time. That is to say, every human being from the beginning of time until now must stand or fall before the Lord and King of the universe, Jesus Christ. No one can avoid him. Sin is dealt with. It is finally judged. All kinds of sins come under this judgment. This includes sins of commission, that is, the things we do, how we wrong others and God by our actions and words we say, but it also includes the sins of omission, the things we fail to do, the good we could have done but did not do, words we should have spoken but did not. This is part of our confession every Sunday morning. We confess that we have sinned against you in what? Thought, word, and deed, by things we have done and things we have left undone. This is all encompassing, if you think about it. And Jesus knows it all. And he does not turn a blind eye to any of it. He came to earth to finally deal with our sin, our rebellion, our self-centeredness, both now and at the end of our every Sunday morning experience. We just confessed it. We believe that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. So today, this whole matter is put squarely before us. What does this mean? And how does this work? I mean, we know God is good and gracious, loving and forgiving. So how do you? How do I stand before God? Now, this is not a question we often contemplate. But when we do, maybe we kind of think we know how this works. Maybe we think we know even where we line up. Sheep, goats. I would guess we might think in part because Jesus lays it out. We might think we know. I was hungry, you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. Stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, you gave me clothing. Sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, you visited me. If and when we do these things, well, we say, well, then we are sheep. Welcomed in. Because we are serving the least of these. This seems quite clear. Jesus says so. What else do we need? However, if we think this way, it's also clear that we have not heard or caught the big surprise in this text. Here's the problem. I'll try to keep this simple and blunt. We tend to think that the goats, those on the left, are simply those people out there who are self-absorbed, myopic, selfish, blind to the needs of others. These are the people who really don't think about or care about others, especially the least of these. These are the sinful, self-centered ones. True enough, that's all clearly judged here by Christ. But as soon as I say that, I don't know about you, but I think about my own sinfulness. The many times that I have been self-centered and blind to the least of these. I shudder a bit at that thought. And more, as I think about the weekly confession I make, like you, of being in bondage to sin, or in Paul's words, being able to will what is right, but not able to do the right thing, then I realize my own selfishness and sin, and I realize it's something I cannot eradicate. So then what? Well, then we tend to think, well, Jesus must mean those on the left are those really, really, really bad people, the evil people. Jesus cannot be talking about the try-hard-to-be-good people who actually do have a heart for the least of these, but simply have these occasional blind spots or these selfish moments, as we all do. So then on the other hand, well, what do sheep look like and act like? Well, sometimes we like to hide behind, let's say, a congregation. You are all members or part of a congregation, and you exist to bring the life of Christ and the love of Christ to those who don't know him. We learn and we watch and we seek to model who Jesus is in this place. And it's clear that Jesus consistently calls us out to reach those he mentions. I was hungry, you gave me food, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, you took care of me, prison, you visited me. In other words, to reach out to others by doing these things is not only a way that we serve the neighbor, but it's actually a way that we are serving Christ himself. And you could argue, I'm a part of a church, and that's the whole point and purpose of a church. And outside of the specific work of this congregation, as Christians, we have other callings and jobs and vocations where we are called to do these very things, serve the neighbor. This all sounds very sheep-like, right? But the same problem comes, just in a different way. So what about the least of these that we missed or couldn't reach, either through our jobs or our church or our callings? Couldn't we have done more? Did we give up when we should have kept trying? did we miss the least of these before us that could have even been family or someone we looked right past? What about those times that we weren't so zoned in and we were zoned out on others because we were tuned into our own stuff? And yet Christ was hidden in a neighbor before us, and we missed it. Maybe in a family member, a neighbor, an enemy, a Republican, a Democrat. Was Christ hidden in one of those people and I missed it? So I hope you see the problem. How do you know? What is bad enough to be considered a goat, and what's good enough to be considered a sheep? And you could be thinking now, man, it seems so simple at the beginning of the sermon. Where do I line up? How do you know? You see, on either side, sheep or goats, we can miss the surprise hidden in this text. Sheep and goats, they graze together. They are side by side in the field, just like wheat and weeds grow together side by side. We live and work together, sheep and goats. Part of the big surprise of this text is this. The sheep don't know when they're being sheep, and the goats don't realize when they're being goats. But now you say, if that's the case, if sheep don't know when they're being sheep and goats are equally surprised, how do you know if you're a sheep or a goat? Am I saying that you don't know and you have to wait and find out at the end of time? Am I saying that Jesus is saying that you can't know if you're a sheep or a goat? It's all up for grabs. Take your chances. Hope for the best. Try your hardest in the meantime. Or does it mean do nothing? Because you really don't know anyway, and you can't do anything about it. I'm not saying that. Am I really saying that you can't know how it all ends? How you stand before God? And the answer is yes, you cannot know if you and I are looking at ourselves. Here's the problem. When we focus on ourselves, what we have done or failed to do to get the answer, Jesus is telling us, well, you're looking in the wrong place. That's the problem. When you look at yourself, there is no way to answer that question. You can only contemplate and try to rationalize in your own head what is bad enough to be a goat and what is good enough to be a sheep. That is why we cannot and we ought not look at ourselves to get the answer to those questions. So, you say, well then where do we look? Well, along with the surprise that sheep don't know when they're being sheep and goats don't know when they're being goats is a bigger surprise we see in Christ himself. He came to this earth to deal with, to judge, to take upon himself fully our sin. He did this so that we would not look to ourselves, but to Christ alone. He does this so that we would empty ourselves, that our sin would be emptied, that our lives would be replaced by his alone. This is the whole point, the whole promise, the whole surprise and wonder of our salvation and Jesus coming to earth in the first place. The only way we can know to whom we belong is not to look at ourselves and what we have done or failed to do, but rather to look at who Christ is and what he has done. For this has everything to do with you and me. Understand that today, in your hearing, Christ is putting to death our pride, Christ is putting to death our selfishness, and Christ is replacing our lives with his very self. It is his gracious and merciful purpose for you and for me. So this is what we know for sure. I leave you with four things. The last word in history belongs to Jesus. Just as Jesus has the last word in death, he has the last word in all of human history. The scene he paints is one where he is Lord of every nation. Number two. The judge, the sovereign Lord of the universe, and he makes it clear where he may be found. Jesus is found wherever two or three are gathered in his name. Jesus is found in the least of these. Jesus is found wherever sinners gather, which is the definition of the church. What does that have to do with you or me? Well, you remember when Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous. I have come for sinners. Well, I know where I line up on that one. And I'll bet you do too. Jesus can be found fully present where sinners are gathered. And that means in places like this, this very morning, he is here in real time. And among real sinners. Number three, what can you count on with certainty? There's only one thing. There's only one thing. That's his promise. It's a promise he made you in baptism. It's a promise he renews today. God does not leave this to chance. His love and grace are not random things. This is not some generic love. His eyes are fixed on you and me. He knows your name, and he knows mine. He knows everything there is to know about us. And he will not wait until the end of time to make his move on us. He's already making his move this morning. His surprising and surpassing gift was something found and planned and readied for the first moment of history. And his relentless pursuit of love does not stop until the end. And he says when it's over. But this is not something that only happens at the end of time. You don't have to wait for that. You can think of it this way. Jesus now whispers to you and to me his promise that he will thunder at the end of time and no one will miss it. And number four, this inherited kingdom he has come to bring is not something we can make happen. Only Jesus does this. Only he can make this promise. And until he comes at the end of the time, we can be certain of this. He enters in and now takes over our lives. And once he's taken over our lives, he will then place us in front of the least of these and in the most surprising places and people. This is where the Lord of the universe now chooses to live and dwell. And just think, what a surprise it will be on that final day to look back and discover how and where and whom we have served. Because Christ was dwelling in us and directing us and bringing us to those places and people all the time, and we didn't even know it. For beneath the face of another was Jesus Christ. He is disguised now. But one day we will see him in all his awesome power, glory, and love. One day we will know fully what we can only glimpse now. And in the end, we will know with certainty the things we glimpse now. We will know from whom all our power came, including every breath, every moment, every act of service to another. And we will know to whom it went. And we will discover the big surprise that it was all on account of and for the purposes of the world's sovereign Lord and King, Jesus Christ, who is now living in us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We now worship God using our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, as we leave this place, draw our hearts to you, guide our minds, fill our imaginations, and control our wills, so that we may be wholly yours. Use us as you will, always to your glory, and for the sake of your people, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us even how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and a glory forever and ever.
Peace and serve the Lord.